2002, the government changed the law. But we know who changed the law, right? The government said that all kids going into first grade had to go to kindergarten. But they had never built kindergarten, so there was a vacuum. So we say, you know what? If we build a kindergarten in one of these Trans-Micro camps, everybody's got to go. So over a 10-year period, God flowed the money in, and we built 14 kindergartens in the middle of these Muslim areas. And at our height, we had over 700 Muslim kids studying in Christian schools. Here's how you do effective Muslim ministry. Let them support. They were paying the salaries of the teachers with your evangelists. You know what I'm saying? Let them support the ministry. It makes it more sense. Now, Marinus, this guy who we work with, estimates that over 2,000 Muslims have come to the Lord in the last 27 years through his ministry, finding the right people and enabling them to do what they're gifted to. You see, amazing results. On the glory of God.
Another Muslim background believer that God brought into our life is Mr. Yo-Yo. Yes, he's a
Muslim.
So standing there next to Mary. He's well versed in the Quran and in Arabic. And so we asked him to do a series of videos talking about what the Quran says about Isa. That's the Arabic name for Jesus. The Muslims believe is a prophet, but nothing more. And so we put together 60 videos, which have had more than 1.5 million views and more than 12,000. Yeah, more than 1.5 million views. Praise God.
And stories about Isa to Muslims. More than 1.5 million. Definitely.
Yeah, actually, there's a lot about Isa and the uniqueness of Jesus, Lord Jesus. And so, more than 12,000 subscribers to those videos. Now, Mr. Yo-Yo is working on a new video series, and we're confident that God will continue to use this in the lives of people in Indonesia. Another, about 10 years ago, we sensed this nudge from God, you know how he does that, to be more involved ourselves in Muslim ministries, in reaching out to people who aren't part of the church. And so God did an amazing thing where we could start teaching at the local main secular university. Very dying to tell another story.
So it's Friday afternoon. Every Friday I would go to our Teen Joshua youth ministry, right? But before I'd go to the Teen Joshua ministry, I'd eat a pizza hut. We just had a pizza hut open up so many years ago. And I thought, I know it sounds, but I was born and raised on pizza. You know what I'm saying? So
to put yourselves in His hands, to be used of God in a way where He uses us daily to accomplish His purposes. It's a calling where we come in quietness before Him, be still before the Lord. And as we're sitting in His presence in a place where the other voices, the call, the voices of the world are still, then we hear His words to us about who's ready, whose heart has been prepared to hear about His love and His truth that changes lives, that sends the darkness away and brings His love into the lives of other people. So that's what God does. He prepares hearts and then He leads us who are ready to be part of that answer to reach those people. So for everyone who's willing to follow God's call, it's not just for the special few like the pastors and the missionaries, but when Jesus gave His great commission that we all know from Matthew 28, go and reach the world, right? But actually in the original, it means in your going, not just going maybe to another country, but in your going, in your daily going, be involved in the purposes of God to build His kingdom. So that's the call we're leaving with you today. He gives us a call to go and reach the world in partnership with Him.
One other thing that we want to, over the last number of years, God has given us a very effective prayer ministry that we call Receiving Rest. And I'll explain. It came from an understanding of one verse. Go to the next one, please. I need your help there. Read the verse for me. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The Indonesian doesn't say everything that hinders, but it says burden. So here's what this verse says. We are all in a God-ordained race. You understand? And we're all carrying two things. Burdens and sins. And they're wearing us out. And if we can get rid of those things, we can run our race with perseverance. Or, as Jesus said, we can receive His rest. Come unto me, all ye are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So here's what we do. A young person comes to the house, you just say this. Are you carrying heavy stuff? What do you think they answer? Yeah, I mean, when we're dealing with 60% who are from broken and dysfunctional homes, you know what I'm saying? They get a lot of heavy issues. So they say yes. Then you say this. Do you want the rest that God promised? Yeah. Now, you know, normally at that point, often we would do something like this before. All right, brother, I'll pray for you, or something like that. But now we just say, sit down. Sit down. And we get ready to work with them through these issues so that they can go home with that rest that Jesus promised them. Now, two things, burdens and sins. Sins we know much about because the Bible talks about what is sin and it talks about how to get rid of your sin. But the burden stuff is a little different. Yeah, I want you to think about burdens. When you hear that word burden, okay? There are different sources for burden. One are very clear, it's abusive kind of stuff. We had a girl, I'll tell you just a little story about a young lady that came to our house a she grew up without the love of a father. And she had to say to me through tears, I did a lot of things in high school that I'm ashamed of. But you see, people label her by the things she did, not by what her father did 10 years earlier. So that was neglect. That was an abuse by neglect. The burden was a neglect. She, her needs of acceptance and affirmation and affection weren't met by the people who God ordained to meet them. So she was a lack. That was an burden. And then so many others, like I get kids, I say, you know, you go to school. I said, no, at school, did you get into drinking and cheating and stealing? Uh-huh. Why? My friend. It's like peer pressure. There's so many things we do in our life because somebody else just said, this ought to be fun. You see how burdened? But we don't talk about it. We talk about sin. You know, don't steal. That's a sin. But burdens are the root issues. And you've got to deal with those root issues. So the thing that a person has to do to start getting off the burden is you got to do what it says here in Matthew 6, 14, 15. Read that. For if we forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others when they sin against you, your Father will not forgive you. We have to release forgiveness to get rid of burden. That sounds easy, but it's really hard. And it's hard because of this. When we get hurt by someone, I'm sure you're thinking about someone in your life right now. When you're hurt by someone, you put that person in a category. It's called the enemy category. And as soon as you put a person in a category, you put yourself in another category called judge. And there's such a gap there that it makes forgiveness almost impossible. So what I have to do is try and change their perspectives. I ask them this question. I say, if I hit you with a shovel, would you be angry at the shovel? They say, no. I say, well, guess what? God's word says your enemy is not flesh and blood, it's powers and principalities. The person that Satan used to hurt you was not your enemy. He was a tool in Satan's hand. He was a shovel. Stop being angry at the shovels in your life. So you try and bring that level from down here. That's not an enemy anymore. He's a victim of it. And then, you know, when we're hurt by someone and we put them in that category, we're like, okay, Lord, you judge them. And God's like, I can't. You're sitting in my seat. You're sitting in my seat. We're like, Lord, you judge them. He's like, I can't. You're judging. God is the only one with the right to judge. So then, we're angry at shovels and we're sitting in the wrong seat. Well, that's why we hold on to burden so long. That's why a root of bitterness can take such root in our lives, because we don't deal with these things. So now if you bring the person to a victim and not the enemy, and you bring yourself down to a level not judge anymore, forgiveness becomes possible. You understand? Forgiveness becomes possible. Oh, now you get them to that level, and you can go back to that verse. Now what I do is I ask them this. I sit down, I write burdens, sins. I say, tell me the name of somebody who's hurt you. You know what the name that's usually on the top is? What do you think the name on the top of that list is? Father.
go down that entire